I was so thrilled this morning as I was here at church early, and I looked down and I got a text from my 10-year-old granddaughter, and it was a little emoji, and it said to me that she's excited that she's going to see her papa tomorrow, and I'm excited I get to see her. And I know you're excited to get to be with your family and your friends during this time of the year. But you know, it's very interesting. We have been studying the wonder of Christmas from Luke chapter 2 since early December. So take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. And we've been looking in verses 8 through verse 20. And we've been studying this angelic announcement to the shepherds. And we've been looking at the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of his promises, the wonder of his person, all of these things. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the wonder of his praises. Tonight, the devotional I'll be sharing in our Christmas Eve service is the wonder of his power. But today, as we were thinking together about God's word, and as we're thinking about this phrase, the wonder of his praise, I came across a blog that was really sad to me. And I don't mean sad like the seasonal affective disorder that impacts so many, where people during the holidays deal with depression. I mean a spiritual sadness. Here is some of the responses on this blog. I loved Christmas music growing up, but now that I celebrate the solstice and not Christmas, and now that I have a daughter that I'm passing traditions down to, I want to find secular music. Here's another one that responds. I'm starting a playlist of Yuletide music that does not mention the birth of Jesus or any Christian ideas because I no longer feel it fits my ideal of the holiday season. I found a couple of Yuletide playlists on YouTube, and I haven't quite gone through all of the songs, but I'm looking for more of the traditional classical holiday songs that don't have religious implications. They are strictly pagan. What are some of the songs they listed? I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Let It Snow. Winter Wonderland, Jingle Bells, Deck the Halls, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. You're a Mean One. You know anybody like that? Silver Bells and Oh Christmas Tree, and the list could go on and on. Now, let me go ahead and confess to you, I love Christmas music, don't you? I love all kinds of Christmas music. And I don't have any problem singing White Christmas. I won't sing it in church because it's not about Jesus. But the reason that I bring that up is this. If we're not careful as Christians, we can contribute to the secularization of Christmas because we become so consumed with the cultural aspects of Christmas rather than making sure that Jesus is at the very core of what Christmas is all about. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. What is the dominant mood at Christmas for Christians? Well, it really ought to be joy and praise. In the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, there are several expressions of praise surrounding the birth of Jesus. Some have even called these the six songs of Christmas. It begins with Elizabeth's praise to God in Luke 1, and Mary's Magnificat, her praise to God in Luke 1, 46 through 56. And then Zechariah praises God in verses 67 through 69 because his son is going to be the forerunner John the Baptist to Jesus the Messiah. And then after Zechariah, there's the angels praising God in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, which is our text this morning. And then Simeon, who had been waiting to see the Messiah, when he sees Jesus in the temple, he burst forth in praise, a soliloquy to the living God. And then Anna, the prophetess, praises God in Luke 2, verses 36 through 38. In every one of these accounts, of these praise songs or praise accounts, it is the birth of Jesus that compelled people to express praise and glory to God for what he has done. Should it not be that same mood that dominates the life of the Christian all year long? When we look in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, what we see is that the birth of Jesus compels the heavenly host to praise and glorify God. It's a doxology. A doxology is an expression of praise to God. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now you repeat verse 14 with me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. I was driving to the church this morning and I turned on a local Christian radio station and I wanted to see what kind of music that they were playing. Do you know it takes me about 15 minutes to drive from my house to the church if I go the speed limit? And you caught that, didn't you? Well, I want to be on the nice list, not the naughty list today. But anyway, I don't know if you've ever gotten a ticket at Christmas. It's no fun, amen? But anyway, I turned on this radio station, and Philip, the entire way, there was only one song that made any mention of Jesus on this Christian radio station. They sang White Christmas. They sang It's Simply Amazing Time of Year. The only Christmas song I heard in the entire drive from my house to here on a Christian radio station that even mentioned the birth of Christ was Hark the Herald the Angels Sing. And we ought to think about that, amen? Now, don't misunderstand me. I like all the others, and I sing with my grandkids, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all those kinds of things. But when it comes to us as believers, this day is not merely about the holiday that the culture celebrates. For us, it is about Jesus. And I want to give you this key thought. When you and I meditate on the birth of Jesus and everything that it means to us, that should literally compel you to praise and glorify God. When you think about that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, and the fact that God came in the flesh, there ought to be out of you this urgent desire to lift your voice and praise the living God. For salvation has come. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Isn't this the best news of all? Good news. So I want to give you this morning, I want to give you two things that I find in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, that I hope will help you and your family celebrate your Christmas this season. As we are amazed, as we wonder this Christmas at his praise. So you know the story in Luke chapter 2. Verse 8 says, in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they burst forth in verses 13 and 14 in this wonderful soliloquy of praise. Two things. First of all, he is worthy. Praise is to be God-centered. Notice what it says here in verse 13. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Now the words heavenly host indicate that more than likely with the angel that was making the announcement, there was a great host of angels that gathered to declare praise to God. The word host can mean army. There was literally an army of angels praising the living God. Oh, that God's people would be an army that lifts up his name in praise. Do you believe that? Wouldn't that be glorious? He is worthy. Praise is to be God-centered. In the Old Testament, the words for praise are connected with making a noise. Sometimes people get really nervous about children in worship. And I want you to know, I love seeing children in worship. And when kids squirm a little bit, it doesn't bother me. I am grateful that children are here to praise the living God. And I think parents get more concerned than people around them do, because aren't you glad that there are children in the house of God? We thank God for that. So the word for praise means make a noise, but it also meant bodily action and gestures that accompany praise. You want to lift your hands? You lift your hands to praise the living God. You want to wave your hand? You wave your hand. You want to stand? You stand. You want to sit? You sit. You want to kneel? You kneel. You want to bow? You bow. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we do so not just audibly, but we also do it visibly with everything that we have, because we want to worship and glorify him. It's a wonderful word. In the New Testament, the words to give thanks, it's the favorite word, implying the part of the person who praises, the attitude of one more intimate with the person praised. You know, the whole Bible is punctuated with outbursts of praise. They rise spontaneously from the basic mood of joy that marks the life of the people of God. And as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ today, and as we celebrate Christmas, and as you gather with your family and you eat food and you share gifts and you do all of those things, can I encourage you to let the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ be that which is most prominent on your lips, and let him know that you believe he is worthy and your praise is to be God-centered. That's what this passage is telling us. Do you realize that praise of God is frequently commanded from men as a duty, and it's not always dependent on mood? The early Christians continued to express their gladness by worshiping in the temple. Listen to this. The joy of the early church was a dramatic testimony to the world. The second century apologist Aristides wrote to the Roman emperor Antoninus Pius a description of Christians that said, if any righteous person from among them passed from this world, the Christians would rejoice and give thanks to God. When a child was born to Christian parents, they would praise God. Sadly, if that child died, according to Aristides, the parents would even praise God, because the child would be the one who had passed through the world without encountering sin. When you listen to Christian music, you listen to the words of the songs, and we need to be very careful and be certain that the songs that we sing in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ are not man-centered, but they're God-centered. Unfortunately, much of what you hear on Christian radio and you hear in other places sometimes, songs that we hear are more about us than they are about him. Praise is not directed inward. Praise is directed upward. And when you read this passage and the heavenly host came together, it said, he is the one who is worthy, and praise is to be centered on the living God. Amen? So three things about that. Praise him. He is glorious. By the way, if I say something here in a moment in these three statements, anybody wants to shout or clap, you just do what God tells you to do. Praise him. He is glorious. Amen? He is glorious. But not only praise him because he is glorious, but praise him because he is gracious. I am so thankful for the grace of God. I was praying for you last night, and I thought about the Lord's Supper. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I feel such a responsibility, and I think about when we have the Lord's Supper, the Bible says don't take it in an unworthy manner. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you've always got everything right. What it means is you don't approach the Lord's table in a haphazard, nonchalant manner. You approach it understanding the significance and the value and the meaning of what it is. And I thought about what God has done for me. I have no right to demand his grace. I could never earn his favor. But God has been gracious to us. Listen to this passage in Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That passage doesn't mean that we've done anything that has made us worthy of pleasing him. If you understand it in its original context and language, what it really means is God has expressed his goodwill, and those that come in faith to the Savior that he has sent, God is pleased to bring them to himself. Praise him, people, because not only is he glorious, but praise him because he is gracious. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But also praise him because he is generous. God did not hold back anything. Jesus Christ gave everything for you and for me. Do you remember when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the day of triumph, and people were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People were taking their coats off and throwing it down on the ground and putting palm branches down, waving them in the air. And there was this enthusiasm about Christ. And the scribes and the Pharisees came along and said, tell these people to be quiet. And Jesus said in Luke's gospel, he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 40, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. I am saying to you, let everybody else sing their Christmas songs during this season that never mention the Lord Jesus Christ, but let the people of the living God declare the praises of the one who is generous with his son, gracious toward us in salvation, and glorious and worthy of his praise. Now, I don't mean by that if you go, oh, he doesn't want us to ever sing or play a secular Christmas song. That is not what I said. But there ought to be a distinctiveness among the people of God that Christmas is all about Jesus because he is worthy. God is to be the center of our praise. Amen? Yes. Well, that's one thing. Let me share the second thing I see in this text. Not only he is worthy, God is to be the center of our praise. But secondly, he is worthy. Praise is from the overflow of gratitude for God's grace. You know, the Psalms, the book of Psalms is the praise book of the Bible. It literally gives us hundreds and hundreds of reasons why praise is important. The Bible tells us it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Praise is a good thing. It's pleasant, valuable, excellent. Psalm 107:8 reminds us, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why? Because praise is a vital part of a surrendered life to God, and it gives credit where credit is due. I don't sing praise to Daryl because I'm not due any credit. I can't earn my salvation. I can't buy my salvation. I can't achieve my salvation. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and he alone is worthy of all praise. And when I think about what Jesus has done for me, there ought to be a compelling, overflowing reality that were it not for him, I would have no hope. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He is a gracious, good God. Amen. In this passage, verse 14 has been a verse that has been scrutinized and questioned. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now notice the translation, the New American Standard, among men. When it says, with whom he is pleased, it literally means men of his good pleasure. Not men who have earned it. It's like when you go to Chick-fil-A, what do they always say? My pleasure. It is God's pleasure to give to you the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And you didn't do anything to earn it. And he is worthy of all praise and glory and honor. And that praise should overflow from the gratitude for God's grace in each and every one of our hearts. When we consider the reasons we should praise God, we ought to praise him for his attributes. Psalm says he is full of glory, he is great, he is wise and powerful, he is good, he is merciful, he is faithful. The list of attributes can go on and on and on and on. And so when you get together with people, when you gather with God's people, when you gather at home with your family and you begin to talk about all that God has done for you, just start throwing out adjectives. And I can promise you, you can use a dictionary and use every adjective that there is, and you'll never exhaust the greatness and goodness of our God. Amen? Praise him for his attributes. Praise him for his actions. Notice what it says here in verse 13. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. The word suddenly means quickly and without warning. Have you ever just gotten so filled with the Spirit of God that you didn't even calculate it, you didn't even plan it, but the next thing you knew, you were singing or you were declaring the praises of God out of the overflow of a heart that is full of the Lord Jesus Christ? And people may have thought, man, there's something wrong with those people. This last year, one of my former worship pastors, Bob Waldrop, passed away. Rick, you knew Bob. Bob served with me in Shelbyville when I was a very young pastor. And I'll never forget, Bob and I were in the car one day, and we were driving to Nashville to make a hospital visit at Vanderbilt Hospital together. And Bob said, Daryl, there's a song that I came across that I want the choir to sing. And I said, well, Bob, if you've got it with you, why don't you play it? Now, for those of you that are young people, we used to have these things that were called cassette players. And you didn't hit a button and play an electronic form of music. You actually had to fast forward and rewind. Anyway, he put this cassette player in his car, and this song, I Just Want Jesus. I am telling you, we began to have a fit. He began to weep. I began to shout. We had to pull the car literally off the side of the road. We were having such a time with the Lord, praising him and glorifying. We didn't plan it. We didn't expect it. All we knew was God was filling that car, and it was a glorious opportunity to praise him for his actions, because it is not my actions that have redeemed me. It is not my actions that make me holy. It is the work of Christ in me and through me. And I celebrate today the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only because God's attributes are inexhaustible, but I celebrate him today because of the actions he has taken to redeem me when I was damned and doomed and lost and without Christ. He is a great Savior, because apart from him, we have no hope. Isn't he worthy of our praise? Praise his glorious name for his attributes. Praise him for his actions. Malachi 3:1. I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he's coming. In Mark 13, Jesus speaking about his coming again. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes to the Thessalonians and he says, while they were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. The Bible tells us, listen, every one of us need to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not going to be something off in a distance. It is going to happen like what happened when the angels burst forth in praise. Jesus Christ is going to come again suddenly, just like that. Praise him for his attributes. Praise him for his actions. But listen to this one. Praise him for his affection. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Have you ever thought about that? You look at this manger scene, you look at this nativity, and you see Jesus, and the Christ child in that manger is God's expression of love to you. For God so loved, say it with me, the world, that he gave. God loved you that much. He is worthy. Praise is to be God-centered, and he is worthy. Praise is to be from the overflow of gratitude for God's grace that we see in his attributes, that we see in his actions, and that we see in his affection for us. The Bible says that the angels had made this announcement. And after the announcement, all of a sudden, verse 13, they had seen the Christ child. They were there in the fields with the shepherds, letting them know what God had done. And all of a sudden, out of the overflow of the greatness of what God had done, they burst forth in this praise, singing his praise, glorifying his name. And Psalm 106:1 says it like this. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. I am telling you that when you sing joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to save thee, O Israel. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er their plains, the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. He is worthy to be praised and magnified and glorified. So when you meditate on the birth of Jesus and everything that it means, you should be compelled to praise the Lord your God. Why? Two things. He is worthy. Praise is to be God-centered. And he is worthy. Praise is from the overflow of gratitude for God's grace. Stand here this morning amazed in the wonder of his praise. So you're already getting ready to go. And I know you have places to be, and I'm not going to keep you. I understand that. But we have one more song to sing to close out our service. It's entitled, Worthy. He is worthy. I want you to go ahead and stand. So here's the thing. What I hope that you'll take away from this morning is this. You saw baptism. You participated in the Lord's Supper. Both of them are the gospel on display. The declaration that God sent his son to die in our place to pay the penalty for our sin. He was buried in a borrowed tomb and he rose 3 days later, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm telling you, as we celebrate Christmas, it's all about that good news story. So let's worship him. There'll be a pastor in the balcony, Adam Creel. We'll have pastors here at the altar. If maybe this morning you want to come to the altar and just kneel and praise him in private, you do that. If you want to come and speak with a pastor and say, would you pray for me this Christmas? Maybe it's a hard season. Maybe you're facing Christmas for the first time without a loved one and you want somebody to pray for you. Maybe you'd like to know Christ as your own Savior and Lord. You see, I'm telling you that Christmas is empty of any real meaning unless it is all about Jesus. And today, if you'd like to come and respond to him, I want you to come. But let your praise be God-centered, and let your praise be the overflow of a heart filled with gratitude for the grace of God. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. You come. God, thank you for your word. Use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. Bless us, O God. and let us sing your praise in Jesus' name.